to thank you for this, the singing. Each and every one of the songs was pretty tonight. It's nice songs. You may tell you, we need to continue to have songs. Because I think songs that we sing, and especially from the hymn books, the old songs, they have a meaning to it. Some of the songs that you hear today, you'll have one verse, and then after that one verse may have a meaning to it. But then, by the time they get through today, you don't forget about the meaning of the song. You don't forget about what they're singing. All you're thinking about is one word. Because they repeat one word over and over and over and over. And you know, I mean, I don't like somebody to tell me that I'm stupid that I can't sing a song. Like I repeat the words. But they do. But I tell you, tonight, I know I've preached on this, maybe on this subject before, but tonight I know it's going to come out in a different way, because I'm going to ask you a question right off the bat. Now, but two words, and I'm going to ask you, are you? You say, well, preacher, man, you can go anywhere with that. You're right. Sure can. Go anywhere I want to in the Bible on that one. But here in the book of the Psalms, 63, we can see right here where the psalmist David, he is experiencing some things here that maybe had been a while since he had experienced. But it was when he was in the wilderness, and at this time that he feels like that he was probably alone. But it says right here, he praying right here. It says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands to thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, I meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of my wings will I rejoice. My soul falleth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But thou that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. There shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Chapter 64 and verse 1 says, hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of thine enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who wet their tongues are like a sword, and bend thy bows to shoot thy arrows, even better words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of the laying snares privately. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquity. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thoughts of everyone of them and their heart is deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. Have you been wounded? Have you been wounded to the point that you really don't, something has happened, let me put it another way. Are you wounded to the point that where something has happened between you and your family member, or you and a friend, to where you are not satisfied like you used to be? Back up in verse 5, it says, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watch. Have we been wounded to the point that we are no more satisfied today than we was yesterday? Because something has happened today that has taken something that's within us away from us. It's taken away a part of the faith that we had in God. And if we don't watch it, we can be wounded to that point. But my prayer is today that each and every one of you are satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you satisfied with Him? Are you satisfied in what He done at Calvary? I'm satisfied for what He done at Calvary because I know of nothing else that He could have done. He didn't even have to do that much. But He did. But I'm satisfied. I'm not satisfied with the way this world is going. I'm not satisfied in what's happening there in Washington. I'm not even satisfied with what's going here on in Danville. But I am completely satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ because He has got a hold to me and He has got me at His beck and call. And we have to remember that we are just there waiting for Him to give us some directions and some orders. I'm not satisfied with people today in the way that they talk about Christianity. Today, people are just, they'll come up and they'll say, yes, I'm a Christian. And they don't even know what the word even means. They really don't. They don't even know what the word means. But yet, they'll call themselves Christians. But you never see them in church. You never see them praying over the meal out in public. You'll never see them doing anything for somebody else to where they will not be repaid for. Because I always got something in the back of thy mind that if they do something for somebody, then somebody's going to do something for them. See, Jesus Christ, He went to Calvary. He done all of that for us. And He never come back. Even after He went to Calvary, He didn't come back. He said, Donnie, I want you to come in and accept me. He didn't do that. But He still went to Calvary. He went to Calvary. And I'm so thankful that we have the Trinity. I'm so thankful that we have the triune God. Because each one of them has their own position. Their own duties. As doing what they need to do. Jesus Christ never come and begged me to come to Him. He did not come and ask me to come to Him and call on His name. Even God the Father didn't even do that. You know who done that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was satisfied in what Jesus had done for me and for you. That's the reason He went to the Lord Jesus Christ after the Holy Spirit took up an abode in our life. And don't get me wrong. Because some people could take this out of context and say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's okay. I won't fall out with anymore. But you would tell you what. I believe this. This is me believing. Now, you may believe different than I do on this. But I believe that the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit came, and when that preacher was up there preaching, and when he stuck his finger out, I didn't see him stick no finger out, but the finger seemed like it was so long that it would go down now, and it would curve, and curve again because I was hiding. Well, see, He knew where I was at. And the Holy Spirit came up upon me. And He done something within me. He put a stirring there that I had never experienced before. I believe, and don't hold me to it, please. I have to give an answer to God for it. But I believe as soon as the Holy Spirit took up an abode within me and started talking to me and started dealing with my heart and started like Brother Bill and them up there the other day, the other Saturday up there stirring that stew. The Holy Spirit had the rod of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He was stirring my heart. He was stirring my heart to where it would get thicker.
And it would get thicker. And it would get thicker to the point that I knew something that was there, that was touching me. And I believe this. As soon as that went on in my heart, I was saved. You cannot be saved without the Holy Spirit, without God the Father, without God the Son. The only difference was with this theory that I have, this is me, this is what you call Donald 3:16, if you want to call it that. But I believe the very moment the Holy Spirit got out of my heart was doing a stirring, that what was in that heart could not stay there like it was. He was stirring it up. He was stirring it up to the point to where he would take me and he would get me to that point in my life that I was kind of on the mellow side. I was mellowing out. I was kind of getting kind of weak-kneed. And I couldn't walk. And I couldn't even talk on my own. What did he do? Then he went and he introduced me to Jesus Christ. You see where I'm going? He introduced me to Jesus and he told me, he says, well, Jesus, he's the one that went to Calvary and he hung on Calvary's cross for you. And I could have come back and I said, well, why did he do that? Would the Holy Spirit would have come back and told me, which he'd already told me, but he would have come back and told me that if I'd have said, well, so he went to the cross. He said, but he went to the cross because he loved you. He loved you to the point that he was willing to go and to pay the sin debt that you could not pay. And that sin debt was the sin that was on my life from the day of birth. You know, no, I ain't going to get into that. But I believe that the very moment that the Holy Spirit starts stirring around someone's heart and gets them to the point that the Holy Spirit can lead them and say, we're going to see somebody. We're going to see somebody. See, I wasn't going to see somebody when I went to church. I just went to church to get the people and to get everybody off of me. To get them to say, well, he did show up. The whole purpose of me going to church that Sunday was for people just to leave me alone. Let me go in and do my own thing. But see, the thing about it is, when you go to church, that's when the Holy Spirit starts walking down the aisle. And he starts wooing on the people, on the heart. And he starts looking at them and he's dealing with them in a way. He said, yeah, they're all right. But that's one back in the back that I need to get to.
I need to get to them. Save my soul. It was the Holy Spirit to save me. But how did he get to me?
Through his word. So it was the word of God and the Holy Spirit that saved my soul. And then he introduced me to Jesus. And he says, Jesus went to Calvary. He hung there for you. And he loved you so much that he was willing to give everything he had for your life, the way you could be happy, that you could feel loved. That's the reason I'm satisfied with what Jesus done. And I'm satisfied in what the Holy Spirit done also. I am satisfied with everything that he done in my life. I'm still satisfied today with what he's doing. But one thing about it, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they are not completely satisfied with me or you. What's that? What are you saying, preacher? How can we be completely satisfied with them and they're not completely satisfied with us? Well, this past week, I'll just take it for instance, has something come over you or a thought that you've come about maybe calling somebody? Just calling. I mean, no particular individual. Just calling somebody, inviting somebody to church. You know, if we thought it, if the Lord put it there, then we knew that we were supposed to do it. Well, you say, preacher, the moment that it come across my mind, the moment that the Lord spoke to my heart about it, I couldn't really just stop right then and call him. I couldn't stop right then and go to the house. But no, but we could have done it that day. See, the Lord laid somebody on my heart Tuesday, to call Tuesday. I'm now called Monday. It was Monday afternoon. And I was at my desk reading some scripture and everything, and I said, well, I'm going to just go in there and just kind of lay down across the bed for a little bit because my legs was, you know, they're kind of on the weak side. And I said, Lord, am I using that for an excuse? But I went out and laid down. I didn't go to sleep. I just laid down probably 30 minutes and I got back up. And the Lord spoke to me about calling someone. I didn't call them Monday. I didn't call them Monday night. But I did call them yesterday. To the Lord. That's what you call a day late. I was late in doing what he had asked me to do. He didn't beg me. And he didn't come down and say, this, you have got to do this today, and if you don't do it, then I'm going to take you right back, and I'm going to whip you, and then if it don't get your attention, then I'm going to put you in jail somewhere. No, he didn't do that. He was just disappointed in me. And I knew that he was disappointed in me when he come yesterday, Tuesday. Because I hadn't done what he'd asked me to do. I knew he was disappointed with me because the things that I was praying for, I just couldn't rightfully get it out. I knew he wasn't listening to me. But then after I called the individuals, and which they wanted home, I called both of them. I called him and I called her too. Called both of them. I couldn't get in touch with either one of them, but I left a message on the phone. When I got off the phone, I was at peace. We have to do what God has asked us to do. We ask God for so much more. And we expect God to deliver on what we've asked Him for. Right? Come right down to it, think about it. We do. We expect Him to deliver it. But yet, we can't do a little something like calling somebody or visiting somebody or just telling somebody that randomly they would come up to. I've been out, I'll just see people and I'll start talking to them or something like that. Before I get through talking to them, I'll invite them to church. But he don't ask that much from us, does he? Really, when we come down to it, He don't ask that much from me. He don't ask that much for you. He don't ask that much for the church. He don't ask us that much. But boy, when we go to Him and we ask Him for something that we definitely need Him for the answer, a prayer request or something like that, that we know that we're in dire need of hearing something from Him, just hearing from Him and say, "Yes, I've heard you." It'll be there. It'll be there. But see, if it's not that, the next day, we may say, "Well, give a little more time. We'll pray a little more for it." But the second time, the third time we pray about it, we don't really ask Him sincerely. We need to ask the Lord Jesus Christ sincerely with a humble heart to where we get down to the point that when we start praying, and I don't know about you, but when I start praying, it takes me a good 15 or 20 minutes just to get all the junk out of my life. Then I can go to the Lord and I can really talk to Him. But am I satisfied with whether, yes, I'm satisfied with what He's done. Everything He's ever done for me, I'm completely satisfied with what He's done.
There's a whole lot of things that I've prayed for that hasn't come to pass. But he didn't give me no timetable on it. I haven't found in the Word of God that tells me that he gives a timetable on a particular prayer, on a prayer request that we won't answer, and or his sons or his children won't answer. He knows exactly what's on our hearts. He knows exactly what's behind the prayer that we're going to him for. Yes, we may have a daughter, or we may have a son that, hey, that's not living quite right. That they may not be living the life that we think that they should be living. And we know that they was raised in the right way. But yet, no, they're not living the life that we think that they ought to live. We don't need to do that. We don't need to say, we don't need to think of our children. We don't need to think of them, and I don't need to think of my brother just because he's not in church. And just because I don't think he's saved does not mean that he's not saved. I don't know. But I do know this, with the life that he's living is the testimony that he's not saved. But I don't know. I mean, he just hasn't been around the right people if he is saved. But I should not worry about that. What I need to worry about, I need to worry about individuals alone. I have some other friends that's lost. I have some other family members that's not in church, that's lost, that's not in church, that's not saved. So why do I need to concentrate on just one particular one? No, I don't have to. I believe with me, now maybe a little different with y'all, but with me, I don't know if I said this the other week or not, but I'm going to say it again if I did. You know, I know what the word patience means. Patience, work of tribulation. I know that. But you know something, there's some individuals in the Bible that I believe that we can take the word patience and we can relate it to their life. Like Job. Job was a patient man. He did not get angry because of the devil, what the devil was doing to him, his family, and everything, and all his wealth. He lost it all. But did Job get impatient? No. He was just as patient as he could be. Why? Because he knew the righteousness of God. He knew who God was. We know who God is. I know who God is. And I need to wait, and I need to go to my brother, and I say, well,
David, would you come to church Sunday? Or would you come sometime this month? Just give us a try. That's all I'm asking. Just give a church a try. I said, I don't know. I said, maybe you may not even like my style of preaching. I don't know. I said, but I'll tell you one thing. I said, you'll definitely be welcomed by all the people down there, that you'll definitely be welcomed. And then when I leave his home, after I pray with him and everything, then I leave his home. I need to say, Lord, I've done what you asked me to do. I'm going to leave it in your hands. Then I need to go to somebody else. Not need to worry about that no more. You say, when we talking about preacher, you say you ain't worried about your brother? Nope. Why should I? The Lord knows all about it. I done went and done what the Lord's asked me to do. Which the Lord knew all about it anyhow before I even got there. See, he gave me the words to say. So I don't need to take all of my energy and everything that I have and worry about him. I've left it in God's hands. And if I don't leave it in God's hand, that's telling me, sir, God, I'm going to just have to help you out a little bit. He's my brother. I know him. And I know what it's going to take. Like I'm telling God something that he don't know. I'm telling God something that he don't know.
But I want to ask this question once again. Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with Jesus? We need to be satisfied with Jesus. We need to be satisfied with the Word of God that he's left us, to where we can read and it can bring some comfort to us and can help us day by day. And I'm satisfied with this book. I'm satisfied with the Bible I'm holding. Because if I wasn't satisfied with this Bible that I'm holding, then I'm not satisfied with Jesus. I don't see how anybody else can be saved. I'm satisfied with Jesus. But yet they'll hold up the Bible that they have. And it's the NIV or something like that. Don't get me wrong. I can take an NIV Bible. And I can get enough scripture out of it to lead someone to the Lord. Well, but what is that going to do? They're going to ask me then, says, what kind of Bible is that? I'm going to tell them, it's a King James Version. And here I got the NIV. That'd be a flat out lie to them, wouldn't it? I mean, really.
But I'm satisfied.
I'm satisfied with every speck of blood that he dropped that day. And it was for me and for you. I had somebody ask me, said, well, how in the world could he have that much blood? Well, what you need to do is you need to get saved so when you get to heaven, you can ask him. I said, you're going to have to take that up with him. I just know it says in his word, that he said, I had enough for you. I had enough for you. You. I had enough for the whole world. And that's when he put us in his hands. I love that little song. I can't sing it. I wish I could. We didn't even need a word from it, about it. To look where the little children sing. Put the whole world in his hands. He's put my whole life in the palm of his hands.
with protection that nobody else can get to. And that hedge of protection that he puts around us is, as his children. Sometimes I think we cut the hedges down. We kind of open the view up a little bit. Well, we can see out. No, we don't need to see out. We need to see in. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. Father, we thank you. Father, for the message, Lord. I did not even know really where you was going to lead me through it, Father, but I just thank you for it. And Lord Jesus, I want to personally tell you tonight that I am satisfied wholeheartedly with what everything that you've done in my life. You've been there when I needed you. But when you needed me, I haven't been there all the time. Father, we pray today, Lord Jesus, that you would bring us all together in one accord, Father. Lord Jesus, that we can look around and say thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for your blessings. And yes, Lord, as for the church's stands, I believe in with my heart that everyone that's here today is saved. But Father, I don't know for sure. I don't know the heart. You do, Lord. And Father, we pray, God, that you may just speak to them in a special way. Lord Jesus, we thank you and we love you with all our heart. I love you more today than I did yesterday. I love you more right now than I did this morning, Father. We just want to thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for saving our soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.